Final hour here, late night sports radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing our Patriots discussion, and really, at some point here, I did want to take it into a direction where we sort of look at the two distinctly different directions that the Patriots and Celtics are going in. And I find it a very unique comparison because on one hand, to me, you've got the Patriots where, look, they don't have a lot of options. And really, whatever options they had are seemingly off the table. They had options a couple of years ago. They did. They had a young, talented quarterback that was coming up through the system under the tutelage of Tom Brady. And ultimately, what happens here? You know, he gets to the point where he's ready to graduate and potentially take that job over. He earns the confidence of Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick is ready to give Jimmy G the job and essentially, you know, send away the future first ballot Hall of Famer, the GOAT in Tom Brady. And he gets overruled. And at the time, I feel like we all were okay with that decision. And not only at the time, that decision still looked good months later as the Patriots were embarking on another Super Bowl run. And ultimately came up just short, but Tom Brady sort of had the last laugh last year, you know, with the 500 plus yards in the Super Bowl. You know, they lost the game, but it wasn't the aging Brady's fault. It wasn't, you know, so you look at the MVP year, you look at getting to the Super Bowl, and you think to yourself, okay, well, maybe Robert Kraft got it right. And then we hear this offseason that the Patriots were ready to trade Rob Gronkowski to the Lions, and then Gronk says, nope, you know what, you trade me, I'm going to retire. And Brady says, you trade Gronk, I'm going to retire. So now I look at the situation here and I think to myself, okay, if you're a Patriots fan, you know, the optimist in me, the optimistic Patriots fan could think, okay, regardless of what happens here this year, and let's make the assumption that they wind up losing one of their road games in the playoffs and they bow out early, right? The optimistic Patriots fan thinks to yourself, okay, you bring it all back next year. You've got another year with Josh Gordon, familiar in the system here. Gronk will finally get some rest because he's been beat up all year, and you run it back for next year. But how do you add more talent to that roster to make up for the deficiencies of your aging quarterback? I just don't see how they're going to be able to completely overhaul the roster, because when you look at what Tom Brady has right now for offensive weapons, he's got them. Right now, he's got good weapons. You know, even if Gronk is only 70%, he's got Gronk, he's got Edelman, he's got Hogan, he's got Burkett. I mean, he's got legit weapons right now. He's got Gordon. He's got guys that he can go to, guys that he should trust at this stage in the game. Yet this Patriots team continues to come up abysmally empty in the red zone. This Patriots team yesterday, you know, in a must-win, had-to-have-it situation, they marched down the field twice in the fourth quarter. They get to the 5-yard line of the Steelers and the 11-yard line of the Steelers, and they come up with goose eggs. If that isn't an indication that there's something very wrong here, then I'm not sure what is. But it is sports radio. WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the phones. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Stoneham. Steve, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, Patrick. Let's cut through the smoke and mirrors, okay?
Let's do it.
Okay. You talked about the 500-yard Super Bowl, Brady
yep.
performance, these great performances. Okay,
yep.
Let's be very specific now. Okay, very specific. Indoor stadium, no wind resistance, easy to throw a football. They made the game a farce by not calling one offensive holding penalty. Okay? Fast track, no offensive holding penalties. They nullified any pass rush. Okay? First half, three crossing routes over the middle. Brady hits the defender in the shoulder pad. If the guy turns, he makes a play on the ball, interception. Two other crossing routes over the middle. He hits the defender right in the hands, doesn't catch the ball. He's got Gronkowski going down the seam. He throws it 5 yards behind him. Gronkowski all alone down the seam, 5 yards behind him. Oh, yeah, he threw on the backfield to Burkett, who ran for 80 yards. This 500 yards is just a joke. Second half, he throws up this pop-up to two clowns, defenders. They crash into each other. The ball falls to the ground, okay? That should have been number four interception.
Steve, I know you're not a Brady guy.
He hits the cornerback in the hands, which would have had a pick six. That's number five.
But you can do this.
Five picks in the game.
Look. Okay? This is over a year. This is a year ago, Steve.
Okay.
A year ago. I'm concerned about, I get it, but I'm concerned about, you know, for Patriots fans, and it's clear that, you know, you're not a Brady guy, and that's fine, okay? But for Patriots fans that are concerned about how this team sort of prolongs this run, I'm essentially here to tell you that I don't think that there's a way. But we don't have to go back to last year's Super Bowl to look for evidence.
No,
I mean,
you were talking about the great Brady moments.
Well, I mean, Tom Brady's got some of the greatest moments in the history of the game.
When I was very specific and talked about 14-5 okay. with first-time starting quarterbacks, did they elevate the team? They never played in the NFL, and two of them never even played Division I college football. You didn't want to address that.
Steve, I'm never going to change your mind, but the evidence is right in front of you.
I'm being specific. You just
I tell you what. You know what? It's a talk show, Steve. I can't sit here.
You don't want to be specific.
I tell you what. You want to be. I will honor. I'll tell you what, Steve.
Patrick.
Steve, stop. I'll honor your request to be specific. Here's what I want you to do. I don't know if you're on Twitter or not. Find me, and I will write it out for you. And you and I will go back and forth. And then when it's clear and concise, we'll do it on the air.
I'm giving you specifics. He hasn't outplayed
that's
a quarterback.
Right.
You can count on one hand the
Steve,
number of quarterbacks
Steve,
he's outplayed.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the GOAT. He's getting old. I can't do it anyway. You give me a headache, man. 617-779-7937. I'm not here to bury what Tom Brady has done. He's the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. It's not his fault that he's aging. That's just part of the process of life. We're all aging, all right? I don't want to have to dye my hair. I don't want to, you know, have to admit that I'm losing my hair. I don't want to have to admit that I have to work out twice as hard to stay twice as chubby. All right, we're all aging. It sucks. Tom Brady ages too. And there isn't, you know, a cookbook in the world that's going to slow down the aging process the way that Tom Brady needs it to slow down for him to remain as effective as he's been. Do I still think that there's a formula to keep the Patriots afloat for the next couple of years? I do. I just don't know if Bill Belichick's the guy to pull the right strings here to get the right talent in around this team, because the problem goes beyond just Brady and his weapons. Again, I've identified it and identified it and identified it. He's got weapons right now. He does. You know, and the defense came to play last week. They did against the Steelers, give up 14 points. You think that you have a chance to win that game, don't you? But ultimately here, they haven't had a chance to win this game. This Patriots team continues to disappoint. They continue to go out there and just roll over in situations where we've never seen them roll over before. And to me, it looked like a half-hearted attempt by Brady yesterday and this team to even try to stick it in the end zone. Again, you get down to the 5-yard line and the 11-yard line with a must-win situation at hand. You march down the field, you're in the red zone, and what do? You essentially toss it up and pray for the best. It just, that's not what's made the Patriots so great. Zero creativity. I blame Brady. I blame Josh McDaniels. I blame Bill Belichick. But it's not like it's a one-off. If it was a one-off, we could just sort of laugh it off and say move on. I feel like I've done the same show for 15 consecutive weeks this year. Even in the weeks where they won, it's like they're not playing the way that they usually play. And in the weeks where we lost, where the Patriots lost, we're too busy making excuses for Tom Brady, too busy making excuses for Rob Gronkowski, too busy making excuses for Bill Belichick to really identify the problem. Because what we want to do is pussyfoot around it and not admit to ourselves that this team, unfortunately, the run is just about over. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Joel. Joel's in New Hampshire. Joel, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, Joel?
You're growing on me.
I appreciate that, Joel.
As you brought up the last 15, 17 years or whatever, you're absolutely right. Mr. Bill is not going to pull that because he is the chief guy. You will never get your aging stars, your grade A free agents to come in because he will get it out of the bare minimum.
Yep.
So you're pretty much stuck, and it's called the Patriots way for a reason. They're a 20-year winner for a reason. And if we go from, like, the Rockets that have only been back to the championship since 94, 95, which we both saw, I mean, people are going to have to get used to 9-5 record, 11-5, 9-7. It's to come. Yeah. And I don't think Boston fans are ready for that because they blasted 180 Hey, when Red Sox team this year, they won the World Series and they blasted them all year.
And Joel,
Celtics,
Joel,
I don't think you guys are used to it yet.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but as somebody who hosts Red Sox Review here, you know, I participated.
Oh, yeah, I've been listening to you all year, buddy.
Dude, I participated in it when the Red Sox were clearly the best team in baseball. I think we're all wired to sort of wait for that next shoe to drop. You know what I mean? And it never came.
Absolutely. I'm not just talking about the sports media people. I'm talking about the fans that have called you.
Yeah.
Open, they're like blah blah blah, and just like what you said.
Yep.
Couple months after, and they're blasting them because they want to go to the White House. Who cares? Let them go to the White House. You know what I'm saying?
No, I got you, Joe.
Hurt our feelings.
I got you.
People just gotta get used to it, and it is coming to an end. Actually, it should have ended like when he wanted to trade him.
Well, that's the thing, Joel, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm up against it here. Thanks for the kind words. But that's the thing. We talk about this thing approaching the end. If Belichick really is the genius that we think he is, and if Belichick really is the genius that we've made him out to be over all these years, and make no mistake about it, it was the fans here and the media here, we have made this guy out to be a genius. So much so where we let him, you know, SHI, you know what, all over the media, and really, you know, snub his nose up at the media, because who are we to question the almighty Bill Belichick? And you know what? The media plays the game with him. The media allows Bill Belichick to walk all over them. And I guess I'm as guilty as anybody. But that's what you earn. If you're Belichick, you earn that with the obscene amount of winning that he's done here. So I don't blame him for that at all. But at some point here, the act runs tired. At some point here, it gets old. And, you know, Belichick has been a guy that I think he sort of prides himself on picking guys up off the scrap heap, or getting guys that are late round picks, or reclamation projects where they've got talent but nobody else could squeeze the talent out of them. Because when you add a guy like that to a team like this and throw them in the system, and you have a Tom Brady that's going to elevate their game, it makes everybody look good. It helps the Patriots look good financially. It's financially responsible, which the Patriots tend to like because they pay the right guys. They really do. But they don't have that luxury anymore. Tom Brady's not capable of elevating these guys the way that he used to be. And it's about time. If they really, really care about Tom Brady and prolonging his career and keeping him upright, you know, at 42, 43, 44, and keeping this team at least in the Super Bowl conversation, if Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick really, really care about that, they will spend the money. The money shouldn't matter, and they will bring in elite talent on the defensive side of the football to prolong Tom Brady's run here of keeping this team afloat with a chance to get to a Super Bowl. If they don't do that, then you know that Bill Belichick's all done. And if they don't do that, I swear, I think that if this team bows out early in the playoffs, I think the writing's on the wall. I think Belichick wants no part of being a part of the Patriots as they enter mediocrity, because that can only hurt his legacy. And Belichick is too smart for that. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. Steve, Mike, I see you guys on the line there. Go to a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
And you mentioned the turnover in the red zone. You've talked about it after the game. Is that the goal there, to get the ball out of bounds, and you fell short of trying to throw it away completely?
Yeah, I was kind of in the pocket, and I was looking left, and I felt the guy on the left, and I felt the guy on the right, and I didn't want to take a sack, and I threw it, and, you know, just didn't obviously, you know, another 5 yards is what I needed, and just miscalculated it.
There's Tom Brady from yesterday morning with Mutt and Callahan, and, you know, you could tell that Tom Brady was less than pleased to have that conversation. Nobody likes losing, and Tom Brady especially hates it because, let's be honest about this, he's not used to it, especially losing in December, especially losing against Pittsburgh. And it just feels to me like the magic that this team had for the better part of the last two decades it's fleeting. Maybe it's not completely gone, but it is fleeting. And I'm not sure if there's a formula that Bill Belichick has got that's going to be able to bring it back, even just to bring it back for the remainder of this season. I'm sure that this team is dealing with more physical ailments than what we've been led to believe. I'm sure just by watching Tom Brady, his inability to master the pocket the way that he usually does, meaning, you know, he's never been a guy that's been fleet of foot. He's never been a guy that was going to sort of break away for a 20-yard run consistently. That's not who he is. But he's always been a guy that's been deceptively smooth out there, a guy that can feel the pressure and knows how to slide away from that pressure to buy himself an extra second or two in the pocket, whether it's sliding left, right, back, forwards. Nobody's done it better than Tom Brady, and he was doing it last year, doing it to start this year. But as the season's gone along, he sort of reminded me of Drew Bledsoe with the happy feet. You know, he's panicking back there. He's not taking his time and delivering a clear and concise sort of delivery of the football the way that he used to. He's just not. And even on that play that Tom Brady just talked about right there, I mean, I've heard it's 50-50. I hear what Tom Brady's saying, and I hear him talking about, you know, wanting to throw the ball away. And it's troubling that he didn't have the arm strength to get it another 5 yards if that really is, in fact, what he was doing. But if you go back and you rewatch the games this year, he's thrown the ball up like that more than once, where it's just a panicked last-second decision where it's un-Brady-like, where ultimately he doesn't make the right move at the right time. You know, and we've seen him do that a couple of times this year. A couple times it's resulted in interceptions. He just doesn't have the same cool that he used to have. And I wonder if that's a product of him knowing his physical limitations. I wonder what has happened this year. What has changed this year where Tom Brady isn't Mr. Cool out there? Tom Brady is a guy that, you know, he still has no problem marching up and down the field. We saw him do it masterfully twice in the fourth quarter. And here we are thinking to ourselves as he's doing it, okay, here we go. It's that time. You know, it's December. The game is a must-have. And there's Brady marching down the field to give the Patriots a chance here. And both times, he comes up with goose eggs at the 5 and the 11-yard line. I can't remember a time where this is the reality of the team that the Patriots have got right now, and I don't see a way out of it before the end of this season. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Let's get right back out to the calls. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi, Patrick. Yeah, well, you know, I am a Brady guy, but I'm going to tell you, I'm starting to get sick of some of the stuff I'm seeing from Tom. And this one particular thing, he's got his binkies. He's got his BFF Julian Edelman out there, mm-hmm. who's been a great player for us. But Julian drops passes. Yeah, how he led the league in drop passes at least once.
Well, right now he's tied for the league lead, right, with 8.
And now again he is.
But here's the sin of it. He's tied for the league lead with 8. He's played 4 fewer games. He missed the first 4 games of the year.
Yeah. You know, Josh Gordon drops a pass. He is banished to the outer darkness for the rest of the game. Doesn't get even looked at for the rest. And by the way, that Hogan touchdown, that was Josh's. If you look at the coverage on there, basically, they crossed the two of them at midfield, and all the defensive backs went with Josh, which left Chris Hogan wide open. I mean, this is how good of a receiver he is. That's how much of a fear factor he has out there. But he drops one pass, and he gets ignored. And the final play, he wasn't even on the field. They took him off the field with the game on the line. I mean, what the hell is going on this team right now?
There's a lot of questions. You know, how many times have I said that this year? I can't even count. What the hell is going on? And that is so unlike the Patriots. Usually, they're the team that's in control. They're the team that's outsmarting everybody else. They're a step ahead. And it seems to me, Mike, this year, all of those things that we've identified with the Patriots, they're not there.
I mean, how about the running game in this game? Sony, freaking Burkhead. Even James White, all of them ran the ball well when they got the touches. They didn't run the ball enough. Sony Michel barely touched the ball in the first half. I'm like, what the hell is going on out here?
No, you're right.
Do you understand what works for you? I mean, seriously. I mean, this is like the plan coming from the sideline. There's a tremendous amount of weakness right now, and like you said before, imagination. But how about just pure sanity? How about knowing who are your best players and what is best for you? You know what good teams do? Good teams go and basically enforce their will on the other team. These are our best players. We're going to go to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We're going to burn you. I mean, yeah, you there's a wiggle room. You know what I'm saying? You kind of take what's given to you. But you also kind of force it down their throats when you want to.
Well, that's what the Patriots used to do. That's exactly what they used to do. And this year, they're much more reactive. And unfortunately, you know, they don't have the talent to be a reactive team. They've got to force it down their throat. And you brought up the running game. And that pissed me off yesterday because I would rather see the Patriots go out there and throw the ball 60 times than do what they did yesterday. There's nothing worse than making a half-hearted attempt at a running game. Either commit to it or don't do it.
No, they ran the ball well when they got touches. You actually have to give Sony the ball.
Right. It was a half-hearted attempt by Josh McDaniels. That's what I'm saying.
He averaged like 5 yards a rush. The other two averaged 6 yards a rush. I mean, the running game was working. But, you know, and when the running game works, it makes life so much easier for Tom. So they could run the ball on these guys. And, you know, it helps Tom to run the ball. But they just didn't do it.
But, Mike, explain it to me.
Especially in the first half. It made no sense. I'm watching this. I'm like, where's Sony? That's what I was asking for the entire first half. Where is he?
But before you go, explain it to me, okay? So you got Tom Brady out there who's healthy enough. Gronk's on the field. Edelman's on the field. Josh Gordon's on the field. Hogan's on the field. James White is on the field. By the way, I hate the way that they're using James White. He was the reason why the Patriots stayed afloat the first 6-7 games of the year. And now because the other guys are back, they're reducing his touches by more than 50%. It's total garbage. But anyways, all those guys are available and healthy and on the field. And Tom Brady, a Tom Brady-led offense, is still only able to score 10 points in the biggest game of the season. I can't wrap my head around that.
A lot of it is it's like weird play calls at the worst possible time, too.
Yep.
And one of the things that's just driven me crazy for a while here is, you know, throw it beyond the sticks. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the times they throw short of the first down marker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they do. And they depend on the yards after the catch. They do.
Yeah, and it's like, what's wrong with you? Just get it, throw it, you know, it's like, you know, at least to somebody who's near the first down marker or downfield, but this is not happening. And, you know, Tom, you know, like last game, you know, he showed he had the arm strength. You know, the throw, the sideline throw
yep.
to Josh Gordon, the throw to Cordarrelle Patterson, those throws were real rockets. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the arm strength is still there. It's not about that. It's everything else. And, Mike, I'm sorry I'm up against it here, but, you know, when we look at Tom Brady, nobody's questioning the arm strength. The arm strength, I think, is still very much there. It's everything else. It's the inability to make the quick decision. He used to make the quickest decisions in the NFL. He's overthinking everything right now. He's clearly not nearly as confident as he used to be. And I feel like maybe that's because something's going on with him physically. When you watch the way that he doesn't command the pocket the way that he used to, that's got to be something physical that's really messing with him, because he's just not the same guy when he doesn't have the ability to slide throughout that pocket and create the extra space, get the extra time. It is that extra time, the extra half a second, the extra second that used to allow a guy like Gronk the time that he needs to get where he needs to go down the field, or a guy like Josh Gordon to get where he needs to go down the field. And that ultimately allows them to take the big play and take the top off a little bit. But because Brady hasn't been doing that the last month or so, those big plays have sort of gone by the wayside. The only time the Patriots have really racked up big plays, it's been in a yards after the catch situation for the most part. There's been a couple of times where Brady's thrown the ball down the field and it's worked out for him. But for the most part, this Patriots offense has been blah. It's been vanilla. And the part that I'm having a hard time reconciling is that they continue to struggle to score, but Brady's got his weapons. So if he has his weapons, doesn't he have to take some of the responsibility here? I know we're up against it, but let's grab another one here. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Cranston. Steve, you're next up here on WEEI.
Steve, I need two minutes, bud.
You got it, man.
You guys, you're worried about him not getting the ball out of bounds and arm strength. That Brady threw the ball into the first row of the stands for the last four throws that he threw trying to get to the end zone to win the game yesterday.
Yeah, but what was the difference with that? Hold on. What was it? Steve, hold on. I'm going to let you finish, but what was the difference with that one? He was falling back off 1 foot. That was my problem with that one. It was an Ole okay. type of throw. That's all.
The last throw that he had to Edelman, he was falling backwards also. I feel like he's seeing ghosts. The ball was thrown. If Edelman was standing on his own shoulders, he still wouldn't have been able to catch that. If Edelman cuts in, he catches. I am not a – I like Brady. I'm not a Patriot fan. All right, there's 18 other teams out there that would love to have Tom Brady, and Patriot fans are panicking at 9-5. The last caller, Mike, is getting tired of Tom Brady. I want to know, like, what's happening next year when they have to go get another guy?
Well, that's the thing, right? When you look
there's,
at this, when
I'm telling you right
you
now,
can only compare
there
them.
Franchises out there, there are franchises out there that they're searching for quarterbacks,
yep,
and they can't find them. And I would take Tom Brady for the next 3 years. It's all about familiarity, all right?
Yep, it is. But here's the problem.
He's 2 years old, and he missed a year and four games. And he still has 711 yards receiving.
You just said it's about familiarity. So Tom Brady marches down the field on the biggest game of the season twice in the fourth quarter. Twice. Gets to the 5-yard line and the 11-yard line. He's got some of his most familiar weapons out there on the field with him in Gronk and in Edelman. And you know
Edelman's
what? James White.
Even catches. Edelman's making catches on balls that shouldn't be caught, but then now he's getting killed for balls that he dropped.
But no, he can't.
They lost the game to the Dolphins that shouldn't have been lost.
Their red zone offense is abysmal, Steve. That's all I'm saying. Their red zone offense has been bad all year.
And that's fine. The defense doesn't have to cover as much ground. But also, like, they lost a game to the Dolphins that they should have never lost. It was a fluke. I understand that. It's okay. They're going to the playoffs. They can't win on the road, all right? And Belichick, he's great. He's the best. I believe he's the best coach of all time. But that's also due to Tom Brady. So, like, and the reason why I called is you're telling me that he has weapons. You're like, he still has the weapons. The weapons are there.
They are. They weren't there to start the year. But as the year's gone along, you're going to tell me he's got Gronk on the field. He's got Edelman. He's got Josh Gordon. He's got Hogan. He's got James White. He's got weapons.
All right. So, listen. So, it was like 30-something games that Edelman and Gronk weren't on the field together at the same time. All right?
Yep.
He turns mediocre players into great players. And when he has a great player, he sets records with Randy Moss.
You said turns. Moves. You said turns. That's correct.
He turned. Mediocre players. Yeah, he does.
Turned. Listen, past tense. He's not doing it this year.
Steve,
they put up. Tell me how he's done it this year. What has he done this year? Who has he turned this year?
I'm not saying that he's turned anything, but you have people saying that Josh Gordon, if he comes in, he's lucky to catch 12 balls or even step on the field 6 times. Josh Gordon could be one of the best wide receivers in football. I get it, and he's not even on the field. That's not Tom Brady's decision whether or not he's on the field or not. He had to vouch for James White to get on the field. He should be on the field more often. I believe he said that in an interview.
He did.
Like week 3.
He did.
I know that because and Rex Burkhead, he missed like 8 games this season. I understand Edelman also did. And you're telling me he leads the league in drop passes. But he also has 65 catches for 711 yards. And he makes catches where Brady throws the ball. It's nowhere near him. He's diving and making plays.
Again, I'm not sure what you're trying to tell me here, Steve, that this team still struggles to score the ball. That's the problem here. 10 points.
I understand that. But we're saying he didn't have the arm strength to throw the ball out of bounds. And then he's throwing the ball 20 yards into the stands the last
I'm saying you only heard part of the context. What I was saying, we played the cut, okay? On one hand, he's saying that he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds. On the other hand, I've listened to a dozen other quarterbacks today tell me that, you know, he wasn't trying to do that. He made a mistake, and that was a pass.
I don't think he was trying to do that either. But and what I want to leave after leaving this phone call is, if you guys think that Tom Brady, you want to replace him, that's cool. I'm letting you know that it's going to take years to find another guy that's going to be able to bring you to the postseason. And maybe not because of the AFCs.
Well, listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I agree with you. When it's over, it's over. But right now, you know, it to me looks like a team that they're going to have to drastically rework the way that they play and bring back a different group of guys next year. Because in years past, this team could outscore their opponents because their offense was so prolific. With these same players, with Gronk on the field, with Edelman on the field, with James White on the field, with Rex Burkhead on the field, with Hogan on the field, with those guys sharing the field with Tom Brady, they were able to be one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL year after year after year. Those guys are on the field with Tom Brady right now, and they're struggling to score the football. 10 points in a must-win game in a place where you've had a tremendous amount of success. It's simply inexcusable. So if the offense isn't going to get it done and you want to hold on to Tom Brady for the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to have to become a much different team and start with the defense, because this defense has been bad for a couple of years. Ever since this team, you know, got rid of Jamie Collins, ever since this team just changed their identity and changed the direction in which they go, it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked for about 3 years now defensively. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up with some final thoughts right here, Sports Radio WEI. Final segment here. It's late night, Sports Radio WEI. Patrick Gilroy with you guys. You still got about 5 minutes if you have any leftover thoughts. There's still some time and room for you guys here at 617-779-7937. You know, the last couple of days, right? So we listen to the station all day today and the other station all day today. And essentially, you know, yesterday from the time that Glenn Ordway took over the airwaves here with the Real Post Game Show through my show last night and all the way through the day today, the one common theme, the one common thread is, you know, it's been a rehashing of the last couple of weeks. And I feel like there's no getting around it. You know, you've got 17, 18 years of excellence by this Patriots team. And what we've seen over the course of this season has really come to a head over the last couple of weeks, and there's just no way to explain it all away in a matter of 48 hours. You know, and generally I know that we're the happy-go-lucky show here, and we do a lot of basketball and have a lot of fun, but the Patriots fans out there have really needed to have a voice and to have a chance to sort of say how they feel. And that's something that, you know, I can offer here on late night because, you know, I let you guys go for 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes when the stuff is good. When you bring it, you know, you guys can have essentially as much time as you want. And I've said that since my first show here 2 years ago. Tomorrow was my first show here filling in for Christian Arcand. And who'd have thought that when that happened 2 years ago that it would turn into what it's become? And I'm so grateful to all of you guys for allowing me the privilege to come here and talk to you each and every night. But I got to say, one of my favorite things about doing late night with you guys is the fact that we're not hamstrung to, you know, 10-second conversations, 30-second conversations. Or if you listen to Felger and Maz, you know, they say, you know, they don't want you to say, hello, how are you? Stuff like that. I don't care. We've got more time here. It's late night, and it allows us to have a conversation. The one frustrating part about what we've talked about the last couple of nights is the fact that I'm going to leave here tonight. I don't come back tomorrow. I got to travel for work, so I'll be back here on Wednesday. And the one frustrating part that I have is, for the first time in a long time, I'm not going to leave with a sense of understanding what's gone wrong here any better than I did when I went into my show last night. And usually when we're rehashing Celtic stuff or trying to figure something out with one of our teams here, be it the Red Sox and their bullpen or what they were able to accomplish in the postseason by having the roving pitchers, all that stuff, you know, was stuff that we had the opportunity to work through together. And that was awesome. I got to hear all your opinions. You guys got to hear mine and mix it up. And that's what I love about doing this show. But with this Patriots thing, I feel like nobody's got the answers. And maybe the guys that have the answers are just never going to give us those answers. Maybe those guys are Belichick and Brady and Gronkowski, and we're never going to hear the truth from them. So that leaves us with what? It leaves us with nothing but our eyes. And I'm here to tell you, unfortunately, no matter what this team has accomplished in years past, no matter how great they have been, the tense that we use to describe this team is critically important. You know, and like that previous caller that we had here, he was speaking in the present tense when he talks about Brady's ability to elevate others. And I corrected him. You got to talk in the past tense. Until he shows me this year that he can elevate his teammates, that he can elevate the level of play that these guys ever thought that they were capable of, then it's a past tense conversation. And it sucks to say that, and it hurts to say that, but I really truly believe that we are seeing the beginning of the end. Doesn't mean it's going to be a cliff. Not saying this team's going to fall off the cliff. Even more painful than the cliff is the slow, methodical, painful 2-3 year long decline. There's nothing worse in sports than that. It is Sports Radio WEI. This is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. I'll talk to you guys all again come Wednesday night. Until then, bye-bye.